there was an enormous amount of diabetes. A lot of them died, and my husband was busy diagnosing it in the children's clinic. Before that, it had just been put down to vomiting, which was so common, of course, from all the different bugs. But there was a lot. It was clear from the records, if people didn't come for a while, they must have died. The Maasai, who are a very interesting tribe in Kenya, they're nomadic, and they live in mud huts, and their diet is basically drinking a mixture of blood and milk and cow's urine. And it's very difficult to treat them for many things, but the only Maasai that continued to come to the clinic were those who were in prison and were brought up by the prison officers. I fear all the rest died. But certainly interesting sort of genetically, in that you'd think if it was all due to genetics, the genes would have died out, but they certainly didn't. It was, I think, probably even commoner than it is here, although it's impossible, of course, to say that. When I first arrived in Kenya on the ward, there was a young Kikuyu boy. He was 16, and he had just developed diabetes. He had been having Kikuyu circumcision ceremony, where the men are not supposed to drink anything for 48 hours after the ceremony. He had developed diabetes at that time, and they found him drinking water. So he was thrown out of the village as not really a man and would have died, only someone picked him up and brought him to the hospital. This young man was highly intelligent. He spoke English, Swahili, Kikuyu, Maasai, and Kamba, which really covered all the main languages. And I paid him £5 a month, which was wealth to him. He was able to build a new house on that. He took us to his village and to Maasai villages, and he acted as my interpreter and educator, really. When I left, I tried to get money to support him to go on educating patients, because he was extremely good at it, but sadly, I never managed to do that.